to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the award-winning political cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards, and it's a pleasure to be with you tonight from our flagship studios, AM 1380 WLRN here in Memphis, Tennessee, also going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and of course, we're simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. Don't forget that our broadcast archives, this show included, as soon as we wrap up tonight, are available to you on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by going to our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We've had a pretty busy show tonight, if I do say so myself. Keith Alexander on with me during the first hour. We talk about the Liberty University rap video that they're hoping will boost enrollment there to the Christian school. Representative Curry Todd, one of our guys right here in Memphis, member of the Tennessee House of Representatives, told the truth about illegal immigration and has refused to apologize for doing so. A very encouraging story. If you missed our first hour, go back and listen to it. We also document all these stories as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org. During the second hour, the hour from which we just emerged, I talked to you about how the Red Cross is now a symbol of hate and intolerance, if you listen to the advocates of hatred and intolerance, that is. And the United States Army now has a Sikh among their ranks of enlisted men, and he doesn't have to cut his hair. We had a great guest during the second hour, Kyle Bristow. Author Kyle Bristow was on to promote his epic novel, White Apocalypse. Check it out at Amazon.com by searching White Apocalypse. And coming up this hour, you're not going to want to miss the conclusion of tonight's show, because coming up in the very next segment, we will hear from political cesspool favorite Reverend Ted Pike. He just wrote a new article. Was November 2nd really a victory for freedom? We'll get Reverend Pike's thoughts on that, the Republican electoral gains, and the Tea Party itself. What does Ted have to say? We've talked about it a lot. We talked about it last week. Keith talked about it tonight. And we've been talking about it for weeks and weeks, months and months, even the better part of a year now. What does Ted Pike have to say? We're going to find out in short order. But can the GOP fix America's problems? Well, I guess that's the question here. And the answer is no, they can't. In my opinion, they can't even address our mounting debt crisis. The annual deficit is already in the trillions and will probably stay that high for quite some time. And the Republican solution is to cut a mere $100 billion in spending. We're headed for economic Armageddon, and they think we can cure it with minor spending cuts, some tax cuts, and a $2 trillion war with Iran. And they probably won't even achieve the minor spending cuts part. Rand Paul, the quote-unquote libertarian, is already going back on his word to fight pork barrel earmarks. He now says that he was elected to represent Kentucky's interests, and swearing off earmarks wouldn't be right. Boy, it's sure not taking him long to grow and become a respectable conservative, is it? And Ann Coulter, we talked about this in the first hour with Keith Alexander the Great. Ann Coulter says Obama wrecked the economy. You know, that's right, because Bush had absolutely nothing to do with 8 years of out-of-control spending, did he, Ann? You know, George Bush didn't push banks to make mortgage loans to people with bad credit and dark skin, did he? Oops, yes, of course he did. Of course he did, and that was the point I was making in the first hour of tonight's show. Had that been John Kerry letting spending balloon? If it had been John Kerry forcing banks to give out credit to deadbeats, she would have rightly been after him. But George Bush does it, and it's okay. You know, George Bush throws trillions down the drain in a pointless war with Iraq and Afghanistan, a $700 billion bailout for his Wall Street buddies after all those minorities with bad credit defaulted on their mortgages. And, you know, it's nothing said. You know, it's Obama that did it. Now, Obama's just as bad. Don't get me wrong. But George Bush was no better. And this is why, again, ladies and gentlemen, as if you needed more evidence or further proof, this is why the Political Cesspool is a genuine article. We're the real deal. You're going to get the commentary here that you're not going to find anywhere else, certainly not from Ann Coulter or Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh. And it is a shame to see such a talented writer like Ann Coulter become such a partisan hack. And please don't tell me that I'm being too hard on her. You know, in George Bush's new book, he says the worst day of his presidency was when Kanye West, the black thug rapper, called him a racist. Now, this was just a few years after 9/11. Now, do you really think that if instead of George Bush, Al Gore had been the president and had written the exact same thing, that Ann would have pretended that she didn't see it? No. You know as well as I do that she would have torn Gore a new one, and she never would have let him hear the end of it. And the same goes for Beck, Hannity, Limbaugh, and a million fearless conservative bloggers. They would have never let Gore forget it. But because Bush said it, they act as though it didn't happen. They're not conservatives, ladies and gentlemen. We are. They're just shills for the GOP, which is a big reason why we're in the mess we're in. And while we're at it, let's talk about the African AIDS racket. Guess who's paying for it? Well, how does this tie in to Ann Coulter and her glossing over all of George Bush's shortcomings while blaming everything on the Democrats? Again, the Democrats are just as bad as the Republicans, but in my opinion, not too much worse, unfortunately. Now, raise your hand if you know what PEPFAR stands for. P-E-P-F-A-R, PEPFAR. What's it stand for? Raise both hands if you know how much it costs. It was launched in 2003 by George W. Bush, and PEPFAR stands for the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, and it's now grown to the point where it is virtually a promise to help pay for AIDS treatment for every infected poor person in the world. During its first 5 years, from 2003 to 2008, PEPFAR cost the American taxpayers $25 billion. Almost all of that $25 billion in taxpayer-funded subsidies went to sub-Saharan Africa. In 2009, worldwide, there were an estimated 35% more new HIV infections than AIDS-related deaths. So there's no end in sight for the president's emergency program. Well, this is, again, you know, George Bush, the conservative. Get real, folks. Come on. We're going to tell you the truth here. We have no reason to lie about it. We're not getting paid to do this. So we're going to tell you the truth in love, unlike so-called mainstream establishment pundits. And that's why the political cesspool has no peer in mainstream talk radio. We're gonna give it to you. We're going to hit it hard, and we're going to do it every Saturday night. If there's two things you can count on in life, the sun's going to rise in the east, and we're going to be here every Saturday night to tell you the truth. And we're going to tell you more truth with Reverend Ted Pike right after these words here on the Political Cesspool radio program. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood,
baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my honor as always to introduce our next guest to you. And if we had Reverend Ted Pike on every night we did a show, we still couldn't have him on as much as he deserves. And I think we've been having Reverend Pike on probably on average at least once a month, every month since our inception. That's a lot of appearances, but all well-deserved. Reverend Ted Pike is the director of the National Prayer Network, which is, of course, a Christian conservative watchdog organization. He's probably most well-known for being an outspoken opponent to federal hate crimes legislation proposed by the Anti-Defamation League. He and his National Prayer Network have played a pivotal role in defeating such legislation the last four times it has been introduced in Congress. Ted Pike's website, which I'm at right now, and I invite you to join me there, truthtellers.org. Reverend Pike, welcome back to the Political Cesspool.
Well, thank you for having me, James.
It's always an honor, my friend. You have written an excellent article most recently. Was November 2nd really a victory for freedom? And, of course, you're referencing the huge electoral gains for the Republican Party and the effects that the Tea Party had on those victories for the GOP. We've been batting this around, Ted, for quite a while, many months, in fact. And, of course, we've spent a few hours with the post election recaps here, but I'm very interested to hear your take on it. What's the gist of your article?
Well, my article is in response to a caller, a concerned patriot, who said, Ted, I want to tell you this is not a victory. The Zionists are still in control. They control and influence the Tea Party. They control the Republican Party and so on. And he went on, and I relate the quotation from his telephone message. He went on to say that, in fact, we are in very great danger because with all of the Zionists now riding the Tea Party Republican wave of popularity and re-election in Congress, we're going to see even greater Zionist influence in government. And he said that your article, in which I had been elated in saying that this was a divine reprieve, God was giving us a place of mercy, a stay of execution, was misguided. Actually, he said things are worse than ever. But I pointed out in this article that I never claimed that we had won the war. I agreed that the Tea Party people need a lot of education. Certainly the Republicans and religious right need to continue to hear the truth from their friends over on the anti-Zionist right. But nevertheless, I pointed out that legislatively speaking, we now have control of the House of Representatives. We basically can keep any Democratic legislation from passing the Senate, and that not to mention the gains on the state level with the governors as well as control of the state houses and so on. So I pointed out that for at least the next 2 years, it's going to be extremely difficult for the ADL to get through more hate crimes legislation. And I'm not saying they can't do it, but all I'm saying is that with the power of the Republicans, especially to appoint heads of crucial committees in the House of Representatives, specifically the House Judiciary Committee, it could be very difficult for them to have the relatively easy road they found in the last 2 years when they did successfully pass the federal hate crimes bill.
Yeah, in reading your article, Ted, I thought it was very level-headed and objective. You're not saying it's the ultimate victory and that there's still a lot of work to be done, but perhaps things aren't quite as bad for us moving forward as it would have been had the Democrats remained in control of all three branches of power there. But, you know, Ted, what is your take on the Republican Party now, or this regenerated Republican Party? You know, they've certainly been no friend of ours in the past. Perhaps they have done marginally better, and I mean very, very a small margin better. But do you think that there is going to be any tangible gains for paleo conservatives in this new Republican Congress, or is it just going to be slightly less bad than the Democrats?
Well, I think the record of the Republicans is that they have opposed health care reform. They have opposed a great deal of the spending and all of these issues, and they are in marked contrast in general terms to the Democrats, which have voted as a bloc for hate crimes legislation and so on. The Republicans, for the last 10 years, we have been able to count on Republicans at least to stand up against the hate crimes laws. I think one of the biggest issues that I'm concerned about is hanging on to free speech. And as long as we can have free speech, relative free speech under the First Amendment, then we are empowered to speak on the internet and print and over the airwaves against incipient Zionist destructions of liberty and socialism and all these things. If we lose free speech, then literally everything goes down the tube. I'd just like to tell folks tonight that there is a new hate crimes bill which has been introduced into the House of Representatives last month. And the ADL and the Department of Education, as well as a host, dozens, literally dozens of Jewish members of Congress, are trying to quietly slip this bill through. I call it the Special Rights for Jews and Muslims Bill. The bill number is H.R. 6216. It's only one page, but what it wants to do is it wants to add religion to Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, add religion along with race and ethnicity, national origin, and so on to those people protected under the Civil Rights Act. Now, it has no interest, there's no promise, no stipulation that Christianity will be protected from harassment or verbal assault or intimidation or any of these ADL type of twisted terms. No, Christianity is not mentioned, but in the Department of Education recent statement policy guidelines, which is working closely to get this bill passed, they stipulate that Judaism and Islam will be given special protection as religions under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And so that means that just as Attorney General Eric Holder said a year and a half ago that the federal hate bill will not protect Christians or whites or males or heterosexuals, but give special rights to homosexuals and those supposedly beleaguered groups that have suffered from Christian harassment and persecution over the centuries. So also this legislation is very, very limited in those it will include under the term religion. Only Islam, only Judaism will have protection. Now this bill and the ADL and all of the Zionist politicians are very specific, very open, that this bill is dedicated to ending criticism of Israel on campuses and universities in America. As we all know, the state of Israel really has taken some big hits in its outrageous persecution of the people of Gaza over the last 2 years, and most recently in the flotilla attack against the peace activists trying to end the blockade. And ADL has been rushing around trying to figure out some way to end criticism of Israel, which is widely spreading on U.S. campuses. And here, they're very frank that this is how they're going to do it. They're going to make a bill that'll make it anti-Semitic, an anti-Semitic hate crime to criticize Israel, the Talmud, Judaism, any of these issues related to Jewish religion or ethnicity on college campuses in America.
Hey, now, Reverend Pike,
I have a new article. It's coming out Sunday night or Monday morning. It'll be all over the place at truthtellers.org or on rents.com and so on. I just want the listeners to the political...
Hey, Reverend Pike, hold on right there. Hold on right there. We're going to get that link right after this. Stay tuned. The heck is it?
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, delighted to bring Reverend Ted Pike back onto the radio program tonight, and he's with us for another segment here now. We originally booked Reverend Pike to appear this evening to talk about his new article, Was November 2nd Really a Victory? And he has now brought to our attention something that I must admit I wasn't even aware of until Ted enlightened me. More hate crimes legislation is now being presented, Ted? Is that what we're hearing?
Absolutely. This is another ADL, so-called anti-bullying bill. And they're starting with public education in America, saying that a new category of religion will be included under the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which will give special federal rights and protection to Jewish and Muslim students at all levels of the educational system in America. Now, this is dangerous because once you put in a whole new category of a group specially protected under religion, then that will very quickly can overflow into the workforce, and the Civil Rights Act will force employers in colleges, in business, over 20 employees, they also will be forbidden from criticizing Jews or Muslims in the workplace. And then, of course, from then on, it's only another step before this becomes national policy that Jews and Muslims cannot be criticized under penalty of federal law. So this is extremely serious legislation, and the bill is only one page long. It's very innocent. It's made to just very quietly slip through, especially in a Republican Congress, which is overloaded with sympathy for Jews in Israel. And this legislation is very threatening to Republican, Tea Party, Christian conservative members of Congress, because it says, well, if you vote against this legislation, you're voting in favor of anti-Semitism on campus, criticism of Jews and Muslims on campus, and so on. So the member of Congress is going to say, well, I better be safe. I better vote against a bill. In favor of a bill that is against hate or against anti-Semitism. So what we have to realize is that just as in previous Congresses that were even dominated in both the House and Senate by Republicans, ADL has its way of slipping its legislation through, and unless we are on the wall, very, very vigilant and taking action, they're gonna quietly move it through.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, Ted. Getting back, first of all, I gotta ask the question, does the ADL ever even have time to sleep? I mean, they're so busy trying to push hate crimes, incessant hate crimes legislation down our throats and behind our backs. I don't even see how they find the time to hit the sheets. But
well, I've just been reading the 10-page directive by Arne Duncan, the head of the the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, and it is absolutely loaded with ADL terminology, phraseology, legalese, and so on. In fact, I would speculate that this directive was actually written by the ADL. The ADL is obviously saturating the Department of Education. Dozens of Jewish members of the House and Senate have been badgering the Department of Education, especially since last July, to ban criticism of Israel on campus as a violation of the Civil Rights Act.
Well, this is all news to me, and if it's news to me, it's probably news to a few other people as well, and so we're eternally grateful for you bringing this to our attention tonight, and I know that you're going to be moving forward to stop this, and you've had played such a pivotal role in stopping similar legislation over the years, and in fact, you are, if I do say so myself, the premier defender of our people when it comes to exposing and fighting so-called hate crimes legislation, which is, of course, anything but. But this gets us back, also, you know, Ted, coming back full circle, I think it brings us all the way around to the original topic tonight. You know, was November 2nd a victory for our people? You mentioned that the Republicans are just as eaten up with the dictates of the ADL as the Democratic Party is. And I think you would agree with me that the Republicans were able to see such substantial gains because of the Tea Party movement. I think that the Tea Party movement, you can say perhaps that it was co-opted, but at the end of the day, the biggest manifestation of all of those efforts of these middle-class Americans in the Tea Party movement turned into electing a lot of Republicans. You know, I ask you this, the Tea Partiers don't mind going to a park and marching around a bathtub and dropping in tea bags when it comes to issues like taxes. Where are the Tea Parties when it comes time to oppose hate crimes legislations, Ted?
Well, unfortunately, going back the previous summer, there was a tremendous tidal wave of anger about the health care reform bill just when I needed a tidal wave of anger about the federal hate crimes bill. And unfortunately, hate crimes legislation has always taken a back burner to all kinds of other issues which are important but are sometimes not as important as keeping our free speech. And I'm afraid I will say this, that over the last 10 years, our National Prayer Network has played a tremendous role, especially after the arrest of those Philly 11 Christians in Philadelphia in 2005, 2004. And we were able to storm talk radio, literally hundreds of broadcasts in which we were able to speak out the whole unvarnished truth about ADL, Zionism, the Talmud, and all those kinds of things, bringing a freedom of discussion about Zionist and Jewish matters to talk radio that had never existed before. And a lot of that has percolated down into grassroots America, some of it into the Tea Party and so on. But the Tea Party is very largely a populist revolt having to do with taxes, constitutional issues, and things like that, and they have not been sufficiently enlightened concerning ADL, concerning the Zionist agenda, and these other issues. So it's up to all of us out in grassroots America to keep informing them of the total picture. Otherwise, they are going to get sidetracked off onto peripheral issues, chopping at the tentacles, and not going after the eye of the real octopus, which is intent on destroying America. If you don't watch out, they're going to elect people like Sarah Palin and others who are Zionist lapdogs to repeat all the mistakes of the Republicans and the Bush administration and so on regarding doing the bidding of Israel.
Ted, you just worded that so incredibly eloquently. I could not have said it better myself. You hit the nail on the head. They focus on peripheral issues. Now, that's not to say that these issues aren't important, but they're not the most important. There aren't it isn't the type of issues that's really going to determine the survival of our nation and, yes, and our freedom. You know, we all want lower taxes. We all want the Constitution to be followed. But you're as you said, I mean, you killed it. You know, they're chopping at the tentacles rather than going for the eye of the monster. And, you know, what can we do? I guess you've been doing it, and I've been doing it for a number of years now. But let's just say that there are some members of the Tea Party listening tonight. How can they and the rest of us be involved in this particular battle, this forthcoming battle right around the corner, to beat down the hate crimes legislation once again?
Well, I think everybody should come to truthtellers.org because we are the premier website, not only fighting hate crimes legislation here, but informing the world about abuses under ADL hate laws worldwide, especially over the last 30 years. They need to get educated. They need to know where this perverse legislation is coming from. And as I mentioned earlier, I will be coming out with an article. I'm just finishing it up. It'll be posted probably tomorrow night at truthtellers.org. It'll be our latest article right there on the homepage. People should get that article, pass it around, email it around to your friends, and start speaking out against H.R. 6216. It's a simple little bill of one page, and the title is simplicity itself. It says to amend Title VI of the Civil Rights Act to prevent discrimination on the grounds of religion. That just sounds so benign, so innocuous. Let's include religion under the protections of free speech and conscience here in America. The truth of the matter is that it's a lie there. It's a blatant lie that's going to protect all religions. In fact, Duncan says in his 10-page memorandum, it'll only protect Muslims and Jews. And that's exactly what Holder spit out in the Senate Judiciary hearing a year and a half ago. He said, forget about this being equality for all under the federal hate bill. It's only for special, beleaguered, protected groups.
Reverend Ted Pike, everybody, God bless him, and check him out at truthtellers.org. Ted, we look forward to having you back on very soon.
Thank you so much, James. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, you just heard the directions of the legendary political cesspool producer Art Frith, and we are going to do something now that we don't typically do. We're going to open up the phone lines here for the final segment of the evening. I want to thank Ted Pike, by the way, as always, for coming on and sharing his brilliance with us. Check him out at truthtellers.org. Also, thanks to our previous guest earlier in the evening, Kyle Bristow, author of White Apocalypse. But ladies and gentlemen, now I want to hear from you. And so the phone lines are open as of this second. If there's been anything tonight that we've covered, anything that one of our guests said that particularly piqued your interest, we want to hear about it from you. The call-in number here at Liberty News Radio is 1-866-986-NEWS. I'm going to give it to you again. I'm going to give it to you slow. So write it down, 1-866-986-6397. Anything at all that we've talked about tonight that you would like to talk about a little bit more before we run out of time this evening, now is the time to call and let your voices be heard. Been getting a lot of emails tonight from listeners around the world, and now I want to take a couple of phone calls. 1-866-986-NEWS. Now, one thing that I never do is cover the same story twice in a single program. But I really feel compelled to spend a little bit of this final segment reminding you of a story that we brought to your attention earlier in the evening during the first hour. It revolves around Tennessee State Legislator Curry Todd. Now, this is a guy that, you know, for the moment, at least, you know, he's suffered some pretty brutal hits here in the last couple of days. And so far, he's not apologized. And that is a story that you don't read too often. It's not very uncommon at all for people to speak the truth and then later apologize for it. And when you speak the truth and you stick to your guns, this is a guy that deserves our support. And I want him to know that there are good, hardworking people like us out there that support him. Now, what did Curry Todd do? Well, he refused to apologize after being pretty demonstratively critical of illegal aliens and illegal immigration. And he was talking about what he said was that they breed like rats, and the only way that we're going to be able to stop it is if we go out there and multiply. And of course, the NAACP and Jewish folks, you know, radical left-wing Jewish folks, and these so-called Hispanics, they're illegal aliens. Don't let them fool you. They've been protesting at his house. They've been, you know, going to his door. He's been getting into newspapers and on television here in town. And if I'd caught wind of this story and it had been a lawmaker from anywhere in the country, I would be pushing it with this sort of tenacity on the show. But since he's from Memphis, well, I'm all the more excited about it, and I want you to stand with this guy. After making the comments and catching all of this hullabaloo, a reporter asked him, "Are you willing to apologize for what you said?" And he said, "No, I'm not apologizing to anyone." And, of course, that incensed them all the more. If you go to our website, oh, and by the way, you got to check out this YouTube video that has popped up. You know, the minorities, we're told, are so tolerant and so gracious, and they, you know, we can learn from them about how to be tolerant of one another. Well, of course, they're not tolerant at all. They're the most intolerant of anyone, actually, the minorities. And looks like some illiterate illegal aliens have posted a video to YouTube that documents their feelings about Curry Todd. And again, your assignment is to watch this video, which we have posted at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and try to count how many times they picture guns in this video while not too subtly referencing what they'd like to see happen to Representative Todd, all because he simply said that he doesn't like illegal aliens breaking the laws of our country and taking advantage of our system. Well, we want you to email Curry Todd, Representative Todd, and show him your support. And you can do so by going and reading my blog entry, Curry Todd, a lawmaker with enough courage to tell the truth. It's featured tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. There, too, you will find his email address and this video that I was just talking about. I'm actually on Google right now here in the studio because there was another article, and I can't find it right now, that I wanted to share with you about this topic. We're starting with Curry Todd, and we're ending with Curry Todd tonight here in the political cesspool, but we covered a lot of interesting ground in between, to say the least. And where is it here? It was from Action News 5, which is the NBC affiliate here in Memphis, and here it is. I'm going to read this to you. It adds a little more insight. Republican Representative Curry Todd of Collierville refused to back down from comments he made earlier in the week about illegal immigrants, they call them, that he believes are taking advantage of the system. Todd made the comment on Tuesday during a meeting with the legislature's Fiscal Review Committee. He had been asking if the state-funded Cover Kids program checked citizenship before paying for health care, and was told that the federal government didn't allow it for prenatal care because any child born in the United States is a citizen. Todd said that means the immigrants can go out there like rats and multiply. Todd later said that he is sick and tired of the state funding folks here illegally in our state with health care. And browsing down the article, this is just some of the things that he has been faced with since making a very common sense statement that every voter in his district would agree with. Latino Memphis called a news conference Thursday in front of Todd's home. Are you getting this, ladies and gentlemen, in front of his home? To respond to what they consider racist remarks. Of course, everything's racist. You know, racism is anything a white person does that liberals don't like or that minorities don't like. He said this is classic. What if he had said it about members of the Jewish community or the African-American community? Asked Mauricio Calvo with Latino Memphis. It's highly intolerant to dehumanize people like this. So you're dehumanizing people, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that our laws should be followed and that illegal aliens ought not be able to just break our laws and take advantage of our system. It goes on from there. Anytime you dehumanize someone, it applies to all of us, said Madeline Taylor of the NAACP. We stand with the rest of the community in fighting intolerance in any way. This is some homosexual talking here. We think Memphis deserves, because, you know, homosexuals are the latest protected minority. Those offended by Todd's comments are asking for a more formal apology and said he needs to take affirmative steps to educate himself in tolerance and diversity. Let me read that to you one more time. Because this man, Representative Curry Todd, a state legislator serving in the Tennessee House of Representatives, said that illegal aliens ought not be able to come here and have kids and get free health care, people are saying that he needs to take steps to educate himself in tolerance and diversity. Now, this is the kind of attacks that he is facing for standing up and promoting the positions of his constituents. This is the kind of pressure that he is under now. We need to negate that pressure by sending in to him our emails of encouragement and praise. I believe that praise is due in this case, and hopefully if he receives enough of them, he won't follow the footsteps of so many other impotent politicians by acquiescing and apologizing and pretending that he has seen the light, so to speak. So We need to send in some emails of praise and encouragement, and you can do that by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org and clicking on my Curry Todd blog entry. His email address is listed there at the bottom of the post. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time this evening. Thanks so much for tuning in to another live installment of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. We'll be back with you next Saturday night here on the Liberty News Radio Network. On behalf of my entire hosting staff, Keith Alexander, Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, I'm your host, James Edwards, thanking you for tuning in. And don't forget, Christmas is right around the corner. Christmas is right around the corner, and I know a good book you can buy that'll make an excellent gift to your conservative friend or family member. It's Racism Schmacism. It's my book, and you know all about it, but if you need to be reminded, go to racismbook.com, racismbook.com. There you can find all the news that is news about my book and purchase it online. Proceeds benefit the Political Cesspool Radio Program and help keep us on the air. Good night, everybody. God bless you. Remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. I'll see you next Saturday.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.